began the service, we're in the midst of this worship series, which is called God With Us. And last week we talked about how God is with us in the midst of valleys. And we talked about how we're in the midst of a season as we move towards Christmas where we have mountaintop expectations. We have mountaintop expectations. For example, how many of you have done some of your Christmas shopping? Raise your hand. How many of you know when you're going to celebrate Christmas already? How many of you have put up the tree? How many of you have put up the lights? There are all these expectations. Anybody done some holiday baking? Anybody make lefse? Ufta, right? It's good stuff, right? There are all these expectations, mountaintop expectations. But here's what I have to tell you. Those mountaintop expectations are going to be different than reality. And when reality and our mountaintop expectations are off, when there's a difference between the two, we experience valleys. Last week we talked about how God knows our valleys. The Bible talks about valleys again and again and again. And so in the story we tell at Christmas time, the most important story we have, the author of the book of Matthew reminds Joseph, who had had mountaintop expectations but was thrown into a valley. We had some words that in a dream God reminded Joseph of. It said, the virgin, this wife-to-be of yours, will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so we remember that we have a God who's with us in our valleys. Well, today we're going to talk about how God is with us in the wilderness. And sometimes valleys and wilderness can sound like similar analogies. But valleys are things that we go through and we come out on the other side. Wilderness, I think for all of us, we have wilderness times where we're asking, when is this ever going to end? Wilderness, you can get lost in the wilderness. Wilderness covers vast areas of our lives. And so we're going to talk about wilderness. And to get into that, how many of you have ever been to the Boundary Waters before? How many? Some of you are going, yeah, Pastor, my idea of roughing it is Holiday Inn. I love the Boundary Waters. The Boundary Waters canoe area covers over 1 million square acres of just the most pristine wilderness. It's 1 million acres of lakes and forests. There are no motorboats. There are no motors at all. No ATVs, no cars, no cabins, no houses, no resorts. It's just this vast wilderness. A couple of years ago, a buddy of mine and I, along with his father-in-law and his father-in-law's best friend, we decided we were going to take a 5-day trip up into the Boundary Waters. And because it was just guys go, arr, come on. Because it was just guys, we decided we were going to get as deep into the Boundary Waters as we possibly could. And so we planned our route and we hopped in our canoes with all our gear. And one of the things maybe you don't know if you've never been to the Boundary Waters is that to get from one lake to another, you have to take what's called a portage. A portage is simply a hiking path. You get out of your canoe, you throw all your stuff, your tent, your gear, all that. You throw it, these packs on your back, and then you put your canoe over your shoulders, and you go from one lake to another. Some of you are looking at me like, that's stupid. But you do that. And so we were on this trip, and we were going to go deep into the wilderness. And so those portages, whereas with your family, you might take a 100-yard portage, we were looking at big portages. First one was a half a mile. The next one was a mile. And then we got to the granddaddy of all portages. It was over 2 miles. And it took us to what we believe would be a lake that very few people ever got to. Because no one's as stupid as we were to portage over 2 miles. And we got past this portage, and I remember coming to this lake. It was the most beautiful lake I think I've ever seen. And across the lake was this perfect campsite right on the water. And we quickly paddled across the lake and set up camp. And we decided we were going to go fishing. And so we fished, and we caught more fish than I've ever caught in the Boundary Waters before. And as the sun went down, we had a fire, us four guys, and we fried up this fish. And we smoked a few cigars, and we talked really smart. It was like the perfect evening for a group of guys. And that's why we were so surprised, startled, shocked, when in the middle of the night, the biggest storm I've ever been in rolled in. And the wind howled. It was blowing so strong that my buddy and I in our tent, we had to lay like this on the floor of the tent to keep the tent from blowing away. And the water was just rushing underneath our tent. It felt like a waterbed. And the wind got louder and louder, and it got stronger and stronger. And hour after hour, this went on. And soon we started to hear trees snapping and falling to the ground with a boom. And this went on and on. And I remember thinking, like, what would happen if a tree fell on our tent? Like, what would happen if one of us got injured? We're out in the middle of a million acres, and nobody really knew where we were. What would happen? And for a few moments, I felt all alone. Like, what would we do? Well, the next morning we woke up, we found that a big old tree, lots of trees, but one had fallen within 2 inches of our travel companion's tent. We were really lucky. And we eventually made it out. We heard that this was one of the biggest storms that had come through the boundary waters in recent history. We also heard that a woman died that night when a tree fell on her tent. I think of the wilderness. I think we've all had experiences in the wilderness where we feel all alone, where we ask the question, God, when is this ever going to end? Maybe for you that was an unhealthy relationship, or maybe it was an unhealthy work environment. Maybe for you, you found yourself in debt at one period in your life, and it seemed like you were digging and digging and digging and trying to do the right thing, but it never seemed to get you out of debt. Or maybe for you, it was you were dating a guy way back when. And you've been dating him for maybe 6, 7 years, and he just didn't get the hint that it was time to buy that ring. Or maybe for you, that wilderness was a journey with cancer. Or a journey with a loved one who struggles with dementia. Or maybe the struggle to have children. You see, I think we all know the wilderness. We've all had experiences with the wilderness. And if you consider yourself a person of faith, here's what's really interesting about the wilderness. I think when we're in the wilderness, it's in the wilderness that God seems so distant. That God's voice seems so small, even as small as a whisper. And it's in those times that, I don't know about you, but I wish God was yelling at me. That God was saying, here's what I want you to do. I want God to send a lightning bolt, right? I want God to put it on a billboard. God, just tell me, whatever it takes, tell me what you want. Well, folks, in the midst of the wilderness, I think in those times where it feels as though God is so distant, that God's voice is so small, I want to suggest today that actually God is closer than we may ever imagine. And to get at this, we're going to look at a story in the book of 1 Kings. The story is about a guy named Elijah. Elijah is a prophet, and Elijah had done everything God had asked of him. Elijah had confronted a king, and that king had come after him, and God hid him in a cave for 3 years, fed him with a raven fed him. It's this weird story. And then Elijah, he raised someone from the dead. He confronted 550 false prophets. He did everything God had ever asked him. And right before the story, he's up on this mountain, Mount Carmel, and he experiences the presence of God like he's never experienced it before. And in our story today, he's down the mountain, and now he is running for his life. He is alone. He's afraid. He's terrified. You see, here's the backstory. There's this evil king. His name is Ahaz. You say Ahaz. And Ahaz was an evil king. But I'm sorry, women, don't take offense to this. He had an even eviler, is eviler a word? An even eviler wife named Jezebel. You say Jezebel. And Jezebel had heard about Elijah and that Ahab had been going after him for years and couldn't get the job done. So she said, Ahaz, take a back seat. This woman's in charge now. And she goes after Elijah. And she sends a notice to Elijah that by this time tomorrow, you will be dead, Elijah. And so Elijah is running. It's interesting. Ahaz has been after him for ages. And all of a sudden, this crazy woman comes after him and he's running. He's running. Well, let's read the story here. It says, Elijah was afraid and he is running from this crazy woman, Jezebel. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey. And so he's running out into the wilderness. And maybe we don't get a sense for how far this is just by reading it. He ran what historians think was 100 miles. There was no Executive Express or Rainbow Rider or Uber way back when. He's running on foot. He's like Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. He's just running away because he's terrified and he's out in the wilderness. The story says he came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. Help me here. He says to God, I've had enough. God, you know everything I've done for you. I confronted a king. I lived in a cave for 3 years. Some bird fed me. I raised a man from the dead. I confronted 550 false prophets. And now this crazy woman is after me. God, I've had enough. Okay, don't lie. You're in church. How many of you said that to God at one time or another? God, I've had enough. I know some of you said that a couple weeks ago. It was Thanksgiving. You had the grandkids around. They're jumping on the couch. They're eating all your food. Snot is running from their nose. They're sick all the time. They're on their devices. And you said, I've had. There you go. Or maybe for you it was raising a child. You're nursing or you're changing diapers. And you say, I've had enough. Or maybe it's an unhealthy workplace. If I have to go to that workplace one more time, I'm going to go postal. I've had enough. Or maybe you dug yourself into some debt and you're trying to dig out and you're getting really close and then all of a sudden the furnace breaks down or the car breaks down and you say, I've had enough. Or maybe like you, I'm going to talk to the women for a minute. Maybe like you, like my wife, you have had an experience like this. You spend all afternoon making that wonderful meal, right? You even go to the organic section at the grocery store. You get the good vegetables, the good meat, and you make this beautiful meal for your family. You've slaved all afternoon, and you put the meal on the table. The family comes and sits down, and your youngest son looks at that food and says, yuck. That's gross. Or maybe the family scarfs it down in like 30 seconds and they bolt, leaving you with all the dishes. You know what happens to you moms? You turn into Jezebel. You holler at your family. You say, you all will be dead by this time tomorrow if somebody doesn't clean up the dishes. We know what it's like to throw our hands in the air and say, I've had enough. Well, the story goes on. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. God came to him in this angel. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. It says he ate and drank, and then he laid down again. But I love this. It says, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and he drank. I love that part of the story because God doesn't give up on Elijah. The first time didn't work, and so he came back a second time. That's who God is for us as well. God doesn't give up on us. God comes back a second time, a third time, a fourth time, whatever it takes. But the story goes on. It says, strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And now listen to this. He says, there he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. Help me here. What are you doing here, Elijah? And I love this next part of the story because Elijah just unloads. He has had enough. And so he unloads on God. He says these words. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. That's biblical talk for God. I have done everything you have ever asked me to do. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. And you put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, God. And now they're trying to kill me too. He's had enough. He's had enough. He's had it up to here. We've all had that wilderness experience. So what does God do? Well, God comes even closer. It says, the Lord said, go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And now listen to this. If you've fallen asleep, wake up. Listen to this. It says, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Now listen to this. And after the fire came a... Was God in the windstorm? No. Was God in the earthquake? No. Was God in the fire? No. God was in what? A whisper. God was in the whisper. It's interesting to me that God chose to come to Elijah out in the wilderness in a whisper. Because it seems to me that when we're in the wilderness, God's voice seems small. Even like a whisper. Have you ever wondered why that might be? Why God might in the wilderness sound as though he's just a whisper? I want to suggest today that God's voice sounds small, like a whisper in our wilderness and in Elijah's wilderness, because God is so close. Because God is so close. The Bible talks about how God will never leave us or forsake us. In the book of Romans, it says nothing will separate God from God's love for us. Why does God whisper? Maybe because God is so close to us. The book of Psalms talks a lot about the closeness of God. The psalm we read today was the 34th psalm. And in that we hear these words, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In Psalm 139, we hear these words, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Help me here. Your right hand will hold. God is so close that God holds your hand. Why does God whisper? Because God is so close. Let me practice this. Why does God whisper? Because God is so close. Help me here. Why does God whisper? Because God is so close. Folks, I don't know what struggles, what wilderness are a part of your life. Maybe it's a struggle, a journey of health concerns. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's families. I don't know what that journey looks like. And sometimes I feel as though we have this sense that God is at a distance, or we run from God, or God's running from us. But here's what I want you to know. You can never outrun God, because God promises to be close. Why does God whisper? Because God is close. because God is close. And the most important story we tell, we're reminded of that closeness, that that's God's goal in sending his son. We learn that God wants this child to be known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. Why does God whisper? Because he's so close. I want you to turn to your neighbor. This might be awkward if you don't know your neighbor. But I want you to say, God is with you. Just whisper, God is with you. God is with you in the wilderness. Why does God whisper? Because God is so close. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, you know our wilderness. And you know in the wilderness we feel alone, we feel strung out, we feel desperate. We wonder, when is this all going to end? And it's in the wilderness that your voice sounds so small, even a whisper. Remind us that it's a whisper because you're so close. You promise now and forever to be close to us. And so we give thanks for this, and we pray it all in your name. And all God's people said, amen.